Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views Radio. I am Kevin Fitzgibbons, filling in for Jerry Klein. And this week, we have new associate pastors, Fathers Eckrich and Scholten, in studio discussing their new assignment. And for the first reading, we have Emily Leadham and Monsignor Mangan with the Gospel, as well as news from this past week from Renee Kranz.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on farther towards Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, "Please not let my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" He replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead, in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
And now, news highlights from Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
The 23rd Annual Bishop's Fishing Tournament brought fishermen and women from all corners of the diocese to Big Stone City and Pier in June to raise an estimated $120,000 for seminary and education. Coordinated by the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota, 44 teams made up of 154 youth and adults fished for trophies and bragging rights. Over 200 more people joined in for Mass with Bishop Paul Swain and a social and banquet and silent auctions and raffles. The sainthood cause of Father Edward J. Flanagan took a step forward July 22nd with the presentation of the Positio to the Vatican Congregation of Saints Causes, along with a letter of support from Omaha Archbishop George J. Lucas. The Positio, or official position paper, is a summary of the volumes of records that were sent to the Vatican by the Archdiocese of Omaha in 2015 and makes the argument that Father Flanagan demonstrated heroic virtue in his life and thus is worthy of being declared venerable by the Pope. Archbishop Lucas met with the prefect of the congregation to personally endorse this step toward the eventual beatification and canonization of Father Flanagan, who was the founder of Boys Town. Four Irish bishops said abortion and same-sex marriage will be imposed on Northern Ireland after British politicians hijacked a bill intended for other purposes. In a direct appeal to Theresa May, the outgoing UK Prime Minister, the four Catholic bishops of Northern Ireland accused the government based in London of behaving recklessly after the Northern Ireland bill was amended to extend abortion and gay marriage to the province before it was rushed through the House of Parliament. In a July 17th statement, they said they wished to express their alarm at the unprecedented way in which the UK Parliament had ignored the wishes of the Northern Irish people. The bishop's statement was read out during a July 17th debate on the bill in the House of Lords in London, but members voted nevertheless 182 to 37 in favor of permitting abortions for Northern Irish women up to 28 weeks of pregnancy. Pope Francis has appointed Auxiliary Bishop Mark E. Brennan of Baltimore to head the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston in West Virginia. He fills the vacancy left by the resignation of Bishop Michael J. Bransfield, who was required by canon law to turn in his resignation on his 75th birthday, which was September 8th of 2018. Bishop Brennan's appointment was announced July 23rd in Washington by Archbishop Christophe Pierre, the Vatican Nuncio, to the United States. He will become the ninth bishop of the diocese, and his installation mass will be celebrated August 26 in the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Wheeling. Archbishop Joseph E. Kurtz of Louisville, Kentucky, has resigned as chairman of the U.S. Bishops Committee for Religious Liberty as he undergoes extended treatment for bladder and prostate cancer. Bishop Robert J. McManus of Worcester, Massachusetts, was appointed July 23rd to serve as acting chairman of the committee by Cardinal Daniel N. DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. The appointment will continue until the bishops' fall General Assembly in November, when a permanent chairman will be elected. The committee is among the most recently organized by the USCCB and was assumed a high profile with its emphasis on promoting religious freedom globally and in the U.S. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Renee. Let's get to our latest interview. This morning on Catholic Views Radio, we are joined by Father Brian Eckrich and Father Joe Schulten, the new associate pastors at the Cathedral of St. Joseph, and we want to welcome you. Welcome you to your new parish and welcome you in studio.
Hey.
Good morning.
Thanks, Kevin. Glad to be with you this morning.
Yeah, it's awesome having you both. I knew Father Joe Schulten from school, but Father Brian and I met a couple years ago at the Holy Smoke car show,
yes.
And that was my first time meeting him, and You were helping with the sound and audio, so you're very familiar with our studio.
Yes.
And all the equipment in here. So it's great having you both in here and getting to know you a little more and helping our listeners get to know you a little more as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Father Eckrich, for myself and our listeners. Where are you from? And tell us a little bit about your faith journey.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Aberdeen. That's where I've lived for most of my life. And then after graduating high school in 2006, I attended South Dakota State University. I wanted the best education money could buy, so that's where I went. I studied chemistry. So I actually have my degree in chemistry. And then while I was in college, I was not really interested in the faith. I attended Mass on Sundays always, but it was mostly out of obligation. I mostly wasn't paying attention. And then very gradually, actually beginning my sophomore year, I very slowly got involved in FOCUS, which is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
Sure.
I got invited into a Bible study. And I just kind of got more and more involved, and I found this community and these friendships, and that's how it grew. And then towards then my time at SDSU, I realized that maybe I didn't want to do chemistry. I thought maybe God was calling me to something else. And I literally just thought, I will give seminary a try. I didn't even really want to go to seminary, but just give it a try. And after 6 years of prayer and discernment, and I'm here. And I think this is, I know it's not like maybe a great inspiring, you know, St. Paul moment of conversion, but it's this gradual, just quiet voice of God telling me, I think this is what I want you to do with your life. And so I've been ordained now for 2 years. I just spent those last 2 years up at Immaculate Conception in Watertown, which was a wonderful assignment with wonderful people who I very much miss, but I'm happy now that God has called me and the Bishop Swain has called me here to the cathedral. So in a nutshell, that's about me.
Excellent. And, you know, we're very lucky to have you here as well.
You know? Yeah, tell them why you were at the car show.
Well, I have this hobby, more of a professional hobby, where I do audio and lighting production work for bands, and I DJ dances. And when people find out that I know how to do that, they ask me to help out with the events. So I DJed the Holy Smoke Car Show for 2 years now.
And what's your DJ name?
Yeah,
every DJ has a
name. I've never asked that.
I do not have a DJ name.
Okay, we're taking submissions.
DJ Father Fire.
Feel free to write in. Do they have an email? We have an email they could write into. Suggest a DJ name for Father Eckrich here. Because clearly he's in need. This is a young priest in need,
deal. Everybody.
And so if you could help him out, hit us up, send in some submissions.
As I tell people during dances, I'm always willing to hear your requests, but there's no guarantee that I will actually heed them. So
that's good. You gotta have
I'm always willing to listen.
The barrier.
You can't be a flake as a DJ, you know, you gotta have your own principles, right? And where you're going.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What
Absolutely.
You wanna do with this thing.
Father
I have no idea
Shulton.
What I'm talking about. I've never been a DJ.
Father Shulton, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from and your first assignment and what that was like and how that helped form you for your new assignment here.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, Kevin, we were acquainted through school. So I went to O'Gorman High School here in Sioux Falls, grew up here. And like I said, I didn't get very far in life because I'm back at the high school that I went to as the chaplain, and I'm back at the parish I was baptized at as an associate. So, but I'm happy to be serving there and here at the cathedral as well. I went through a fairly significant conversion when I was in high school. Eventually discerned that God was calling me to go to seminary.
Sure.
And then in seminary, year by year, it just became a little bit more clear that this is the path that he had for my life. And it's been very, very rich, very beautiful and fulfilling so far. I was serving the first 2 years of ordination, or after ordination, I was serving at St. Lambert right here in Sioux Falls over on the east side. And, like Father Brian said about Immaculate Conception, it's a really wonderful community, a lot of great families. And I served under two really good pastors, Father Andy Young and Father Sean Haggerty. Learned a lot from each of them. and was formed as well just by the good community there. I think, you know, in a way that it helped me to prepare for here was St. Lambert really takes worship seriously. You know, they've got a really beautiful church that people have worked hard and over years to sort of create this beautiful space to, sure. to be together, to pray, to worship in. And the mass is very reverent there. You know, there's a real sense that God is here and that we're, you know, we're in the presence of something great and awesome and beautiful. And so being able to have that experience, just as a new priest, celebrating mass my first 2 years, every day, I think helped prepare me to come into this role. You know, at the cathedral, obviously the bishop is here. We like to try to set a standard for the diocese, you know, mm-hmm. Of just reverence and beauty in the liturgy and the way that it's celebrated. And so I think I got a good running start with that at St. Lambert. You know, Father Brian and I are responsible for a lot of the ceremonial duties, sort of MC work. So if anybody on listening watches the TV mass, you'll probably see one or both of us kind of flipping pages and helping move things along for Bishop's Mass, which is broadcast every Sunday morning. So
nice plug.
There you go. Yeah. I would tell you the information about how to find that, but I don't want to mess it up. Just
That's
Google
okay.
it.
Yeah, you there know? You go.
Go to the diocesan website.
There you go.
You can also find past
episodes on YouTube.
Yeah. Masses.
Masses. There we go.
Masses.
Yeah, past masses.
On YouTube. So anyway, so that we will have a fair amount of that sort of work, those sorts of responsibilities. And so, yeah, that's a part of the new assignment here.
Excellent. Now, we know that Father Eckrich is a DJ and that's his side hustle. Can we call it a side hustle?
Sure.
I like sure. That. What's your side hustle? What's something that you tend to enjoy
yeah.
doing?
Well, I was just thinking, like you said, we were acquainted through high school, but actually it was specifically during practices for The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And Mr. Fitzgibbons here played the Cowardly Lion. I played the Tin Man.
Yes.
It was a strong connection.
So dynamite duo.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a scarecrow in there somewhere, but we'll call it a dynamite duo. Yeah. And so, you know, I enjoyed acting in high school, theater, oral interp, competitive speech, all that sort of thing. Obviously not something I'm doing directly as a priest, but I've certainly enjoyed being close to the O'Gorman students that are involved in those activities over the past year. For myself, you know, I have a varied interest. I'm a runner. I enjoy the outdoors. You know, last summer, Father Brian and I went on this awesome backpacking hiking trip through the Bighorn Mountains. It was one of the best vacations I've taken in my life.
That sounds awesome.
And yeah, it was rad. It was beautiful. So I really, yeah, I enjoy the outdoors. Literature. I'm going back through The Lord of the Rings. It's been a few years, and so just picking up Tolkien again, and that's been really enjoyable.
Reacquainting yourself with
absolutely.
His works. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's always good. I'm a big Tolkien fan. Father Eckrich, yourself?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, of course.
Very much.
I was actually reading a book recently that was called A Wardrobe, A Lion in a Great War by Joseph LeConte. And it was all about how C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were friends and they both went through World War I together, not knowing each other, and were forming these stories in their minds about, you know, The Lord of the Rings. And C.S. Lewis was formulating the Chronicles of Narnia, you know, which is a great book as well. And it's all about how Lewis went in as an atheist and came out as an atheist through the Great War, and how Tolkien went in as a devout Catholic and then came out as a devout Catholic through the war. And then when those two met up, Tolkien converted Lewis and brought him into the faith. And it's a very interesting book. I would encourage you both, if you're fans of that.
That'd be a fascinating story. I enjoy reading history of World War I because it's such a pivotal moment for society, changing Western society, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of both of those guys. So that would be cool, you know?
Absolutely.
Not to get too much into the weeds, but I've read a little bit about this, and you can see, I think, when these men write about war, especially when Tolkien writes about war and battles and things, these are things that he's firsthand acquainted with. So he was at the Battle of the Somme, you know,
yeah.
Huge, horrific.
Thousands and thousands of men died.
Right.
Yeah.
In France. And then you read the description of the dead marshes or the gladden mm-hmm. fields or something in Tolkien's writing. And, you know, there's a reason he's able to be so vivid with those descriptors.
Drawing upon his experience. Yeah. I would encourage you both to read it. I have it, so I'll lend it to you.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah.
We're close.
I'll know where downstairs. To find you. We'll have the Fitzgibbons Library or something, stamp it out. So Father Eckrich, tell me a little bit about something that you are most looking forward to now as associate pastor here at the Cathedral of St. Joseph. What's something you're most looking forward to experiencing, doing, learning more about in your time here?
I'm looking forward to the smells and the bells. been known, and I have a great interest in beautiful liturgies and beautiful churches. Mm. And this, of course, being at the cathedral, is the crown jewel of the diocese. It is the most beautiful church.
Yeah, our mother church.
Mother church of the diocese. So this is what I look forward to. Even we can joke about how not, you know, the MC duties are an extra thing that we have obligation. I actually, in some ways, am looking forward to it because to be able to craft and to pray and present beautiful liturgies to the people of God. I figure most Catholics, their encounter with Catholicism is 1 hour on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so that 1 hour, how we worship really forms what we believe and our whole faith. And so I think that hour should be something beautiful, should be something profound, which communicates that which is good and beautiful and true. And so that's what I hope to do. That will happen here. So that is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Excellent. There's something about this space, just the cathedral itself, this beautiful sacred space that really does lift your mind and heart to God. You kind of are naturally drawn into praying while you're there. Mm-hmm. The other night we were locking up and I just locked the front doors. I went outside and there's a family standing outside, you know, just staring, like, you know,
in awe.
Yeah, just looking straight up at this structure. And so I went down and introduced myself, said hi, and we talked for a little bit. And turns out they were visitors from Missouri, just traveling up on their way out west. And so I asked if they wanted to come in, and they were like, yes, yeah, of course, we were hoping you'd ask. And so I opened it back up and just invited them in. And we probably spent, you know, 45 minutes to an hour just walking around. Father Eckrich and Father Morgan just were walking down the nave as we came in. And so we all kind of visited and showed them different things. And they just had question upon question. You know, they weren't Catholic, but they were really entranced by the beauty of the place. And they were Christians. They were another denomination. And so they were making all sorts of comparisons. And you could see them making these connections. And it was a beautiful opportunity to talk about the faith, too. And no, we don't. You know, worship the saints, but here's why they're here. You know, here Mary has a place in salvation, so that's why her statue is here. But it all centers around Jesus, and you see that, you know, mm-hmm. on the altar, and Christ becomes present in the Eucharist, and you could tell they were just receiving all of this, right? But it wasn't just instruction; it was beauty, right? The impact
Absolutely.
Was beauty opens us up to the divine, to something more, creates questions in us, and so I had never experienced that here, like right at home in Sioux Falls. And so to be able to realize that happens and that there's a great opportunity here to share the gospel through beauty, kind of like Father Eckrich was saying, that's something that I'm looking forward to as well.
And for me, as I was at that encounter with this family, I had a moment of humility where not really growing up in Sioux Falls, I visited the cathedral here mm-hmm. many times, but there are a lot of the art pieces and the stained glass windows and all this thing, I realized, I'm like, I don't know how to explain these. And Father Schulten over here is much more kind of seemed well versed in being able to explain, okay, here's what this means. And so now this is kind of one of my motivations now is it's like I have to pick up, maybe like learn a little bit about the history of the cathedral. Sure. Actually, and it encourages me then, like, I myself am walking around and like slow taking time to look at each one of the windows and look up and look at the artwork and like, how would I explain this to a family that comes in just like Father Schulten described? And that's a beautiful thing, because it shows, I think, when you have kind of this traditional architecture, things like this, like the cathedral presents, it always encourages that there's more to learn, that there's
absolutely,
that we don't ever really exhaust the faith. There's always we're always called to go deeper in our understanding and pursue more. So that's kind of what, even that encounter with this family come in, was what really brought that out in me, and just kind of this humility to say, I always have to seek more. And I recognize then that there's much about this place that I don't know yet, even the building itself.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
I look forward over during this time to learning more.
Love it. I absolutely love it. All right. I think we're running out of time here. It's been an absolutely enthralling discussion that we've had here, and I've loved having it with you both. Hopefully we can get you back in studio again soon, because this has been great. Maybe we can go over some Christmas liturgy or Advent liturgy and you know, maybe something around that time of the year.
Yeah, but be here before you know it.
Yeah, tell me about it. And school's just about to start for you.
No, don't remind me. I love it, but I also like having a little breathing room.
Well, I was going to say, you must be incredibly busy during that time of the year.
It's all good stuff, though. Keeps me out of trouble.
Yes, mostly. Yes, absolutely. And Father Eckrich, thank you again for being in studio.
You're welcome.
And Father Schulten, thank
you.
Yeah,
yeah. Thanks for the invitation, Kevin.
Absolutely. All right, Renee, it sounds like the newest bulletin will be hitting people's mailboxes here pretty soon. Do you want to give us a quick preview of what they can expect?
Sure. There are a few other stories that I didn't mention last week. We have one on the stress that farmers and ranchers are feeling and we can help them. A little bit on the bishop's column is his reflection on the beauty of our cathedral here in Sioux Falls. So it's a really nice
excellent column. That'll be a good read.
Yep. And then we have a teacher from the diocese talking about going back to school.
Oh, wow. That'll be a good, interesting read, all of
those. Yeah.
All right. With Catholic Views, I'm Kevin Fitzgibbons. Thanks so much for tuning in.